I've got a serious warning for the shepherds who mislead the flock today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you want to know the crazy world that we live in today? All right, on October 3rd, in Israel, in the old city of Jerusalem, a terrorist named Mohammed Halabi stabbed and murdered two Israelis, Rabbi Nehemiah Lavi and Aharon Bennett, and injured Bennett's wife, Adele, and their two-year-old son. He was then killed by security forces. And now it's being reported on palwatch.org that the Palestinian Authority has named a street after him to honor the martyr. This is the least we can do for martyr Halabi. Okay, that's taking place in Israel. Over in England, check out this headline that appeared on pinknews.co.uk. Food blogger Jack Monroe has come out as transgender. Monroe, who blogs for various publications, including The Guardian, revealed their decision. Yeah, it's a guy, but because he's come out as transgender, he is now they. On coming out as transgender, they wrote, yes, I am transgender. And back in the States, Glamour magazine has now named Bruce Jenner Woman of the Year. Welcome to this upside-down world in the year 2015. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. And that's my biggest concern, a compromised church. Yes, I'm concerned about a sinning world, but I'm much more concerned about a compromised church. Yes, I'm concerned about godless political leaders in America and around the world, but I'm more concerned with compromised leaders in the church. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I am not naming names on the broadcast today when I speak about the compromised church. I am speaking about issues. I am describing symptoms. If the shoe fits, wear it. If you're a pastor, leader, listening to me and your heart affirms what I'm saying, be strong, my brother, sister. Be strong, be faithful, be courageous, swim against the tide, go against the grain. If I am speaking to someone, and as I'm speaking, you're convicted by the Spirit, maybe you begin to get angry with me, and that's a sign you're being convicted by the Spirit. Take heed. If you're a shepherd of the flock, you do not want to mislead God's flock. Those are God's sheep. Those are sheep for whom Jesus died. If you're listening to me today and you're a congregational member, you're a churchgoer, you're part of the body, you attend a home group Bible study, you're part of a large church or small church, and you hear what I'm saying and you say, man, I'm seeing this everywhere. I'm seeing compromise everywhere. Give me a call. Again, we're not going to name names, but we'll talk about issues. You can talk about specific things without us being specific on names. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What prompted me to write this article that posted this morning, a warning to the shepherds who mislead the sheep? I was flying last night. I was in transit from the state of Washington via Phoenix to Salt Lake City, Utah, and I was just terribly burdened. I began to think of leaders who live in compromise, who glory in worldly things, who glory in the flesh, who not only live in compromise, but celebrate the compromise, who not only live in a way that's displeasing to the Lord, but glory in it as if it's a sign of freedom, as if it's a sign of liberty, as if it's a sign of maturity, whereas it's actually a sign of immaturity, and it's a sign of lack of wisdom, and it's a sign of lack of freedom. And by their example, either in their doctrine or in their conduct, they mislead and hurt the flock. A lot to talk about today on The Line of Fire. And if you've got a question for me, a Bible, theology, morality-related question, we'll take your calls to 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-34-TRUTH, that is the number to call. This is Michael Brown coming away live from Salt Lake City, Utah. Hey, listen, tomorrow, let's do a critics call-in day tomorrow. To all my critics, to all those listening who differ with me, to all those who take issue with things I believe, things I teach, things I say, tomorrow is your day to call in. I only want to take calls from folks who differ with me. We're going to have a great interview at the beginning of the show with an author of an important new book. And then after that, we will get to, I can call in today as a critic too, but tomorrow in particular, we're going to devote to critics call-in day. I did one some weeks back, and it went well. We got a good number of calls. I was really pleased with that. I had a few callers that were not happy with me. Oh, not everybody likes me. They weren't happy with me on Friday. There was a Catholic caller who felt that I cut him off and that I didn't treat him fairly. And in point of fact, he butchered scripture, and we came to a break, and we had tons of other callers, so I gave him his time and then went to other callers. Nothing unusual with that. We do that all the time, especially when we come to a break. But more importantly, I happen to notice on Facebook, I don't see a ton of stuff posted on Facebook because there's so many hundreds of thousands of comments that got posted over the course of the weeks there, millions over a period of time. But I happen to notice everywhere I turned, this guy was posting his disagreement with me and trying to back up his claims. We don't allow that. We don't allow people to just try to take over our Facebook page, and we ask people to stay on topic. So once you do that, once you start trying to post your thing on every thread and accuse us and, you know, just get blocked because that's an abuse of our page. You don't have to use profanity. It's just an abuse of the page to get blocked. So he wasn't happy with me. And then another gentleman, a regular listener, I'm truly disappointed that he was very upset with the way I handled his call about Black Hebrew Israelite theology. Here's what I'd like. If someone is calling to argue on behalf of Black Hebrew Israelite theology, then don't call in like you have an honest question or trying to sort something out, all right? Better to call in and say, hey, I believe in this, or I think there's credibility to it, or I want to present the position. But anyway, same deal. We went back and forth. He had more time on the air than some other callers did in terms of raising a couple of questions. Ran into a break, I believe, and then went on. But by all means, sure, let's get someone that is recognized as a leader in the Black Hebrew Israelite community. I know it's not just totally monolithic, but let's get a leader. And if you know them, have them contact us through the website. The reason I want to be a leader is because I want it to be fair to those who identify as Black Hebrew Israelites. All right. I want to be someone that you respect. And then we'll have a civil debate on the air. All right. I'll certainly be civil, and I expect that you conduct yourself accordingly. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, let me try to make something very clear. In the gospel, when we're evaluating the truth of the gospel, when we're evaluating what someone believes, what someone teaches, there are always two tests that you bring, the creedal test and the moral test. It's very simple. What do you believe and how do you live? So let's say I come along with some new teaching you've never heard before, and you say, okay, Mike Brown, what are you teaching? And I say, well, there's now an additional book of the Bible. It's called the Michael Brown Revelation. And in this book, I explain that Moses and Jesus were fictional characters. And so, okay, so it's discredited. Boom, gone. Goodbye. False teaching, false prophet, false leader, whatever. You throw it out based simply on what I believe. That's heretical. I mean, it's normally not that obvious, but I just made it obvious. All right, now let's switch it around. Let's say that I say, okay, you say, Mike Brown, what do you believe? And I say, I believe Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, and the Bible is God's word. I also believe that we have liberty in Jesus, and that he has now set us free, and that sin is only something that exists in the condition of your mind. So if it's not sin to you to commit adultery, if it's not sin to you to get drunk, if it's not sin to you to watch pornography, then it's not sin. Okay. Even though the other things I said about the fundamentals of the faith may have been accurate, I am now disqualified based on the moral failure, right? So it is creedal, what do you believe, and moral, how do you live? If you want to test the fruit of a message, then you want to see, does it line up with the scripture? Does it line up with what the Word of God plainly teaches on the fundamentals of the faith, the non-negotiables, the thing that will open the door for someone to get into God's kingdom or close the door against them getting into God's kingdom, right? That's part one. And part two, what fruit does it produce in the life of those who hear it? That if the leader is living in moral compromise, let's say a man with no scriptural reason, he says, God showed me I married the wrong woman. He divorces his wife. He now marries the gal he's having an affair with and says, we've never been closer to Jesus than this. He is now misleading by his immoral conduct by justifying adultery. So even if the other things check off, he's disqualified because of the moral failures. So I was out in one state ministering recently, and I was talking to the pastors about one particular church in their region. It's a well-known church. It's an influential church. It's considered an evangelical church. And within the last year, this church said that we've changed our views on homosexual practice and we embrace committed homosexual couples, and that's fine in God's sight and so on. And I said to them, there must be other areas of compromise then. In other words, I had no question that they didn't just shift there, that there are other areas of shift, there are other areas of compromise, there are other areas of weakness. Well, it turns out it's both creedal and moral. They said, oh, yeah, we met with the pastor. We met with leadership there. They now hold to an inclusive view of salvation, that everybody is saved. Everybody is saved through what Jesus did on the cross, even if they never heard of him, even if they don't believe in him. Unless they willfully opt out, everybody's automatically saved through the blood of Jesus. So they now hold to a heretical view of salvation. They also said in meeting with one of the lead pastors there, he dropped the F-bomb, so he used profanity quite freely while speaking. All right, that indicates something amiss there. And then as soon as the meeting was over, they went outside, he lit up a cigarette. Now, that's not the end of the world that he lit up a cigarette, but the fact that he holds to this heretical view of salvation, that he freely drops F-bombs, that he's smoking cigarettes, you can imagine the entertainment that entertains him is not up to God's standards in every case. You can question other things that they teach or preach. It's not a surprise. And I began to think of the pastors and leaders around America, worship leaders and others, who glory in a false freedom. They glory in the freedom of, they use profanity freely. They get drunk. They watch sexually explicit movies and they say, hey man, I'm free. I'm not hung up like you are. I'm not in some religious trap. And they are not only endangering their souls, they are endangering the souls of those for whom Jesus died. That's bad. Bad enough that you mess up your own life. But God forbid that you hurt the sheep who were purchased at the cost of Jesus' blood. Jesus says, woe to the world because of stumbling blocks, and woe to those who bring stumbling blocks. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Frederick, Maryland. Mary, you're up first on the line of fire today.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I recently, it was brought to my attention that our local newspaper sends out an article called The 72 Hours, where on Thursday they let readers know new and different things that are going on in the area. But the actual title of the article is Whiskey, Foxtrot, Tango. And many of my teacher friends didn't quite catch it right away until you think of it in terms of if you worked or served in the military at all. And that would be the code name for WTF. Now, that newspaper goes into the public schools. Children read that, where they have to read articles and come up with the meaning behind them. And I bet they're, you know, with all the texting that's going on, they're pretty quick to figure out what those letters mean and what they could mean. So I think it's very suggestive as to a compromise in our community, and it's just inappropriate. I've made calls to the newspaper, and they kind of let us know, well, it does sound kind of sketchy. You meant it to be catchy. I still think it's very inappropriate. It needs to change.
Yeah, and Mary, I wouldn't have caught that either. I'm glad you did. What I'd encourage you to do is get your other friends in the community to write to the newspaper.
Sure.
If they hear from enough people, they normally will respond. And see, here's the thing. Someone might say, Dr. Brown, Mary, you guys are so out of touch with reality. You are being like these prudish Puritans and trying to enforce your morality on others. No, what we're trying to do is help people have a conscience. I'll notice now, some days I'm just chilling for a little while. I'm reading the sports page online, and I'm reading an article on the sports page, and it's using profanity. I'm thinking, wait, this is not some risque publication. This is the sports page. And then you'll see a picture. It's like, how'd that picture get there? That's inappropriate. And it's just on a news page. So the pollution continues to get worse, and it does affect everybody. Ask your kids how it affects them growing up in this world. Ask your husband how it affects him going online and seeing all this trash. Let's push back, preach the gospel to everyone, lead people to Jesus, and stand for morality.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me read some scripture to you, and then we'll go on with this warning to those who mislead the sheep. Paul warned the believers in Ephesus day and night for 3 years with tears. Day and night, he warned them, for 3 years in tears. You can read about it in Acts, the 20th chapter. He said, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And then notice what he says to the elders in Acts 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now look, you might be a pastor or a leader, and you were raised in legalism. And in the midst of that legalism, it drove people away from Jesus. In the midst of that legalism, it brought all types of spiritual destruction. And you were hurt by it. And that's terrible. Legalism is deadly. Legalism is laws without love, rules without relationship, standards without a savior. It is externally imposed religion. It is trying to change people by rules and regulations from the outside in. That's not the gospel. Maybe you've reacted against that, but now you've swung in the other way that's dangerous. So you want to show that you're not, quote, religious. You want to show that you're free from that junk. So what do? You watch things you wouldn't have watched before, and you think, that's not so bad. And then use some language that's a little off color to your congregation and say, hey, man, I'm not hung up. What you don't realize, though, is that your congregation is going to take that and go further with it. That there's a guy struggling with his own sexual purity, and now he's like, hey, this is not so bad. And before you know it, he's addicted to porn, and his wife is divorcing him. And here's somebody else who thinks, hey, you know, I don't think I should drink at all, but you know, pastor's into it, and he says, hey, just don't get too drunk, you know, but it's all right, man. Drinking in moderation's fine. And next thing this person's falling back into alcoholism, and who knows what else? Hey, and someone else starts watching some TV show about swingers, and they think, well, why not us? Hey, let's experiment a little bit. Pastor's cool. We'd be cool. So it's not just your own soul when you're a leader. It's the example that you set for others. And you've got to do it with wisdom. Don't be reactionary. That's immature. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Cliff in Norwich, Rhode Island. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, I was listening to your statement earlier about the transgenders. And God is very specific in his law that man is not supposed to put on anything pertaining to a woman, and a woman's not supposed to put on anything pertaining to a man. We're not supposed to act like women if we're men. We're not supposed to act like men if we're women. And certainly the homosexual or bisexual or whatever you want to call it is strictly forbidden in the Bible. A man shall not lay with a man, for if he does, he shall surely be put to death. And if a woman lays with a woman the way she lay with a man, she shall be put to death. These are an abomination. people have just, like you said earlier, they've strayed away from the truth, and they're trying to appease everybody by, oh, we'll let this go here, we'll let this go there. The truth of the matter is if we stood by God's laws, the churches would have a whole new group of people, and they would start coming back to the church. The church is a joke nowadays. It's not the way it should be, and it's not getting any better because the pastors are not teaching the truth.
Yeah, Charles, the big issue that you hit on there, excuse me, Cliff, it's very clear in Scripture that homosexual practice is forgiven, is forbidden, and it can be forgiven through the cross, of course, and there's transformation through the cross. But it's clear that homosexual practice is forbidden. It's clear that God intends men to be men and women to be women. And those who struggle in those areas, we should reach out to with compassion, but not change the world and change reality based on their confusion and their struggle. But you hit the nail on the head to say the greater issue is the condition of the church. The greater issue is compromise in the church. The greater issue is sexual immorality in the heterosexual church. No-fault divorce in the heterosexual church. Failure to preach clearly against sin in the heterosexual church. That is the greater issue. And that's why we've lost a lot of our witness to the world because of our scandals and compromise. And that's why we have lost credibility with others when we speak against one sin. They can rightly say, well, what about that sin? So what's the solution? To say everything is fine? No. The solution is to say we will speak against both sins, and we will repent of both sins, and we will ask God for mercy and help and forgiveness of all those sins, be it no-fault divorce, be it adultery, be it pornography, be it homosexual practice. We will preach against them all. We will ask God for mercy and forgiveness for all. We'll proclaim the cross to all, and we'll proclaim holiness to all. The problem started with us. The solution starts with us. Thank you, sir, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, before I go back to the calls, please share my article with others. If you haven't yet, it's on various sites. Go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. If you connect with me on Facebook or Twitter or Google, we've posted it there. Please share it with others. Help me sound the alarm, will you? And we've done something very, very special this week. When I was in Seattle, Seattle area, this past weekend with a wonderful time of ministry there in, right outside of Linwood, Washington, the lead pastor, Chris, said that a book that really impacted him years back and that changed his theology or helped him form his theology on Israel was my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. It remains the number one book I recommend when people ask me about the calling and destiny of the Jewish people, about church history and the Jewish people, even about insight spiritually and historically on the Middle East conflict. The book has been continuously in print now for over 23 years. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. This week when you order, we are paying the postage and giving you a free DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? Johnny, grab clip number 4 for me. This is from the DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? It's great. It's informative. It's eye-opening. It's edifying. It's great to watch as followers of Jesus. Great to give to a Jewish person to watch. Here's a clip from the DVD, the free DVD you get when you order Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And by the way, we're paying the postage as well. All right, let's listen.
Is Christianity Jewish? I think the roots of it certainly are.
I think Christianity originated from the Jewish religion. I believe so.
Started out, I think, as being Jewish, but no, I don't think it is now.
Christianity is fundamentally Jewish. I mean, specifically because the Old Testament is the Torah. I mean, it continues on from where, you know, the Torah leaves off, I suppose.
All right, so is that a fair question or not? Is Christianity Jewish? We answer it with some fascinating interviews, teaching, background. So it's a DVD. You'll be blessed by it. To get the book and the DVD, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, or call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. I'm coming your way live from Salt Lake City, Utah. God willing, in fact, if you could just lift up a prayer sometime during the day or night tonight, I'd appreciate it. I had a wonderful schedule in Washington, but it was very busy, very full. Arrived in Salt Lake City, Utah pretty late last night. And then there's a conference I'm participating in, a Stand for Truth conference all day today, dealing with issues concerning homosexuality, society, moral issues, what the scriptures say, can people change, what about counseling, things like that. And then, God willing, when it's over, then I'll be flying back through the night, so taking the red eye back Salt Lake City to Phoenix, then Phoenix the rest of the way home. So getting home real early in the morning and then trying to crash for a few hours before resuming radio. Then I'm home for 2 days, then leave for Hungary. So I'm thriving. I'm blessed. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying the Lord. Family life is great. Ministry is great. I'm productive. But it's a little bit of a crazy schedule. It's been a little overly intense for the last, a couple of weeks, as we've had our missionaries in town or our missions conference and a lot going on. So if you just pray for grace, refreshing, I'd really appreciate it. And keep believing God with us for provision. We're just in one of those times where it's an unusually intense squeeze on us. So if you could believe God with us for supernatural provision in these days as you pray, that would be awesome. I'd be indebted to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brian in Washington, Connecticut. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes. I was just wanting to mention that what you were talking about there, that first of all, I prayed for a long time and asked the Lord to use me as his instrument, and he's been sending me out and about to all the different denominational churches wherever I might be. He uses us wherever we go. And I've noticed in a lot of the churches that I've gone to that a lot of the stumbling blocks that the ministers, pastors, and priests come across is the sort of the hierarchy of their the foundation of their churches. They're the elders or the board, and that was one of the things I wanted to mention to you, that they come in conflict with when they're trying to speak the Lord's truth. And
Let me just jump in and say this.
Yeah.
It is true that there are certain churches, it can be the denomination, it can be the way the local church was set up, that do not have a proper leadership structure. Rather than having a godly pastor with godly elders serving together with one heart and one mind and one set of standards and beliefs, you have the pastor and a board, and the board may just be the old-timers that have been entrenched there for years, or the biggest givers, or those with some type of spiritual political control, and they pretty much tell the pastor, you can do this, or you can do that. Then on the other hand, so that hamstrings him. If he speaks out for what's right, what's true, he may lose his job, and now he can't help the people at all. And then on the other hand, you have folks who run the show, run the church, as if they are God's perfect man or perfect woman, and they have all the control, all the authority, all the power, and no one else can speak to them. That becomes abusive as well. It's so important to have a godly leader who's strong and yet has a humble heart, that has other leaders serving together with him, because then you have a balance, then you have accountability, and then you don't just have one shepherd, you have a number of people serving, helping, guiding. But, Brian, it's true. It often exists.
Yeah, the Lord wants us to use the whole Bible, not just the parts that we feel comfortable with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Especially emphasis he has put on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I've mentioned to many ministers, pastors, and priests. But continually I get from them that that's a gray area, and they don't want to tread in that area, so they kind of avoid it.
Yeah, listen, if the word is clear, we need to be clear. Pretty simple. Thanks for the call, sir. We'll be right back.
Fire we please, and the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just another reminder. Tomorrow we're going to make into Critics Call-In Day. So if you're listening to me, you're a believer, and you have a difference with me on a doctrinal issue or some other issue, spiritual issue, moral issue, my approach to different things, if you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you hold to another faith or a non-faith and want to call in and challenge me, tomorrow is the day, Critics Call-In Day. We're going to start with an interview, an important new book. We're going to talk about that, and then we'll go right into your calls. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Let's go to Terry in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks for holding, and welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. First of all,
hey, Terry, tell you what, I got to put you on hold. I don't know if you're speaking right into your phone or in a bad area. Betsy, could you check on Terry for me for a second? Because I could barely hear anything. When you read through Scripture, you will see the strongest words of rebuke in the Old Testament and the New Testament are often directed towards the spiritual leaders, the leaders who mislead the flock, the leaders who hurt the flock, the leaders who lead the flock into doctrinal error or into moral error or both. When God spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and spoke to him about the sins of the false prophets, he said this in Jeremiah 23:9. This is how Jeremiah responded. My heart is broken within me because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine because of the Lord and because of his holy words. He was devastated by what the false prophets were doing. In Samaria, they prophesied. So the northern kingdom, which is more idolatrous, the prophets right out prophesied the name of Baal. So on the one hand, it means Lord or master, but it was increasingly used for false gods and not just for Yahweh. But in Jerusalem, what they did was even worse. They prophesied in Yahweh's name. But they did this. He said, I've also seen among the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one repents from his wickedness. All of them are a Sodom to me and her inhabitants is Gomorrah. So they prophesied in the Lord's name, but they lived in sin and led the people into sin. As a result, the ungodly were strengthened. As a result, the godly were discouraged. As a result, no one was turned from evil. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, we try to reconnect with Terry. Welcome back to The Line of Fire.
Oh, yes, Dr. Brown, how are you doing this today? First of all, I want to give praises to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and his Father God, for without their grace, we would not be.
Amen.
I was calling about this subject of the Israelites. I was raised in New Jersey, northern New Jersey, during the late 70s and early 80s, and whereas though these groups somewhat nationalist began to appear. First, there was the Nation of Islam. Then they had a split off called the 5% Nation.
Yep.
Then there's split offs of Wallace D. Muhammad's Sunni Muslims, and then you have the Israelites. But their main objective is to go to the impoverished black youth and preach to them, if there was a God, if he's your God, Jesus Christ, why is that helpful? Also, Jesus Christ is the God of your slave masters. And like I said, in the 5% Nation, they came to the conclusion that the black man is God, a human being. So this is what's going on in these poor neighborhoods, and it's just a deception by the devil to pull away these people from Jesus Christ. And it's very kind of difficult to go and disciple and fellowship with these younger people due to financial issues, state of being. So if you ask the average young person in an impoverished black neighborhood, do they believe in God? They'll tell you straight to your face that there is none. So this is where, I'm trying to, bring forth Jesus Christ and God, because God and Jesus Christ is love. the Word of God has no lying in it. It's true.
So yeah,
this is how they're, you know, gaining these man-made philosophies and so forth and so on. Just like the Nation of Islam, they believe there's 9-foot Martians on Mars. You know, that goes back to L. Ron Hubbard type stuff.
Yeah, so let me just jump in, Terry. The insights you're bringing are really important, and it does speak to the larger obstacles that have to be overcome. In other words, when I have an opportunity, say, to debate Black Hebrew Israelite, let's say we get to do that on the air or some other setting, I fully understand that the facts are secondary. In other words, that because I'm white, it doesn't matter if I could illustrate everything, if we could take a video and go back with the video cameras, if it existed 2,000 years ago and show you things, it's still, no, you changed it. You know, that there are great spiritual strongholds that have to be addressed. And in certain cases, they have to be addressed by Black brothers and sisters. And some years ago in New York City, I confronted some Black Hebrew Israelites who were preaching. And I didn't realize, it didn't dawn on me that I was the only white person in the crowd, except for a friend with me, because the crowd started chanting, "Death to the white man, death to America." But I yelled out at the top of my lungs. I said, "These men are deceiving you. They are preaching a religion of hate."
Exactly.
And Jesus preached a religion of love. And I said, "Look, black man, the Jew, we are both freed slaves. We're going to find each other at the bottom of the barrel one day. We need each other." And and so there's spiritual strongholds to be overcome. But Terry, to the extent we can have wisdom, like you're saying, come in not just with an argument against their wrong position, but get to the root that's being exploited. And that requires spiritual wisdom. That's where I really appreciate your insights. There's got to be a way to get to the root of the issue of the deception and then to meet people there and bring them to freedom.
Exactly. Oh, and before I go, Dr. Bond, I just want you to pray for me that I live according to God's commandments and be more vigilant in his word so I can bring forth my family and anyone I meet, and I can disciple the word to them as though they can come to Jesus Christ and God and feel his love.
Amen. Lord, seal that for Terry. May he walk in holy reverence for you and bathed in your love all the days of his life. May he lead others after you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Terry, thank you very much for the call and for the insights. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, let's go to Charles in Mill Creek, Washington. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good morning, Dr. Brown, on my end anyway. First, thank you for coming into our area this weekend and educating us and giving us some insights on biblical standards on what we should be looking for.
And you're very welcome.
And also your message and your prayer. Now, you know, various states have actually legalized cannabis. And through this hyper-grace mentality and also the traditional Christians, because of the fact that it's legalized, they see it as a it's okay to actually consume this product in this area. What is your opinion? What is the biblical standards in that?
Yes, sir. It's a shame that people are even debating this, that Christians are debating this. Obviously, getting drunk is forbidden by Scripture, but someone just having a glass of wine with a meal and they've never been drunk in their lives, obviously that's not forbidden by Scripture. I don't do it as an example. I don't do it because when I gave up drinking, I gave it up 100%, and I don't want to set a bad example for anyone. Plus, I have no interest in it. When it comes to smoking pot, you say, well, can you do that in moderation? Is that like having a glass of wine with a meal? I say the answer is absolutely no. Smoking pot is going to be mind mood altering. Pot that is being used now is very different than what I smoked 45 years ago before I was following Jesus. And there's no way that you can be smoking pot and following the biblical command to be sober and be vigilant. Now states like Colorado are finding kids younger and younger doing it. They're finding now various issues having to do with traffic accidents and things like that. And they're now realizing that there are various health risks associated with it. Also, it does, in many cases, open the door to other drug use. Whether it's illegal or legal, I would never touch it in 100 years. There'd be no interest in it. There'd be no good reason to do it. So I look at that no different than I look at drunkenness. And it's a shame that it's being debated. The only reason it's being debated is because of compromise in the church.
That is correct. Well, thank you for that. And
yeah.
We'll be praying for you on your trips inland and overseas. God bless.
Thanks
you,
so much. And Charles, it was a joy to see you again after these many years. The Lord is with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, check out this testimony that was posted on Facebook. Mike Brown, just wanted to say thank you for helping save my faith from becoming shipwreck. I was caught up in grace, and you helped me get out. God bless you, brother, all the way from Australia.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr.
Rabbi
Michael
Yeshua,
Brown.
The Messiah, better known as Jesus Christ. By the way, in case you weren't aware, Christ is the Greek way of saying Messiah. Now, you might be wondering, when did this Jewish Rabbi Yeshua abandon his Jewishness and start a brand new Gentile religion? He never did. And that's why I raised the question at the beginning of the show. Is Christianity Jewish?
All right, you will really enjoy this DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? It was part of my Think It Through TV series. Got some great interviews on it as well. It's great to watch with a church group, great to watch with Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus. You'll find it really edifying and helpful. You get it absolutely free when you order my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, this week. If you don't have the book, it's been continuously in print since 1992. It's been translated into more languages than any book I've ever written. It is the book that God has used to change more hearts towards Israel, towards God's heart for Israel, to feel the pain of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, than any resource we have. I know pastors today who were once militantly replacement theology and rejected Israel today as having any spiritual or prophetic significance, who are now champions of standing with Israel because of reading that book by the grace of God. So when you order the book this week, we are paying the postage and we're giving you absolutely free with it the DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? So to order, call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800, by the way, only $15 for the book and the DVD, and we're paying the postage. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. If you could help us with an additional gift, that would be awesome. You can also order online, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And there's a video that'll tell you more when you go there. All right, let's go to Durham, North Carolina. Victory, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello there, Dr. Brown. It's a privilege to talk with you. I've been listening to you for a while. It's my first time calling.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, I was calling. I wanted so much I want to say, but I'm going to gather my thoughts. I had listened to your show on Friday, and that prompted me to call you. And after listening to Terry, I think I was wrong. I was going to say, well, you know, going back to the what Terry was sharing about the, you know, Jesus being black, all that issue, I was going to say, you know, give you a bunch of scriptures, but I see that maybe I was wrong. And I wanted to, mainly I was just calling to encourage you that you do a lot of teaching, and like I said, I'm just learning, and my focus for calling was to encourage, but I faced that too here in Durham, and I was going to ask for some information off the air, but I'm trying to find a place in Durham or Chapel Hill where I can go that teach like you teach, so I can pretty much, I'm dealing with what Terry's dealing with, you know, this thing about Jesus being black. And I was going to encourage him to just, I'll just say, if in case he's listening, I always stay on the righteousness side of Christ, because I, like you had shared, you were there somewhere and you were, they were saying death to you, the white man and all that, and I see that with other brothers that are white that are trying, you know, and they just, it's in their hearts going to see the white, but I get success when I just stay with righteousness. And I was wanting to, just in close my question, I'll be quiet, but I was trying to maybe find a place in, like I said, Durham or Chapel Hill that kind of like teach like you teach. I'm looking for to be planted somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm faithfully listening to your show as best I can, and I don't know if I can say anybody else on your air, but another person that's on the Truth Network, I just say it like that. And I'm growing so much, but I was hearing what Terry was saying, because I have the same issues. You know, they always trying to make Jesus black. I mean, white.
Yeah,
I mean,
and the thing that doesn't, it doesn't, if he's black, if he's white, if he's Middle Eastern, if he's Asian, if he's Native American, that's, he's the Savior just the same. I mean, that's the least issue. But, you know, look, there's, you got hatred on every side. You got white hatred toward blacks. You got black hatred toward whites. You got Jew hatred toward Arabs. You got Arab hatred toward Jews. You got, hatred is just part of the human race, and it's got to be overcome by the love of God. It's got to be overcome by the love of the gospel. It's got to be that when people hate us, we bleed love. When they curse us, we bless them back. And by God's grace, that can be done. By God's grace, we don't reply in kind. And when we're confronted with error, we speak truth. Victory, I'm not able, you know, we have listeners across the country, of course, even around the world, and we're not able to refer them to local churches. But here's what I'd encourage you to do. Betsy, if you can just see which of the stations plays there in Durham that Victory is listening to, and maybe there's some truth-related churches or some pastors that are on the air from that area, maybe you could refer Victory or just let her know how to write to Truth Network for references in the Durham area. I'm unable to give specific references for congregations and recommend in that regard, but perhaps some folks from the network there could be of help. But thanks for the call and for the encouraging words. 866-34-TRUTH. So let's go to Minneapolis. Boz, we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get you in before the hour was out. Thanks so much for calling again.
Oh, thank you. I just made sure that my phone wasn't low and I wouldn't cut you off. So I apologize.
No, we're good.
Last time.
We're good. Yeah, we're good.
I just had a question about men being men and women being women. Sometimes,
yeah.
You know, in ancient history, you know, women had to do men's work up to World War II, where they were like Rosie the Riveteer. And also, you know, and also they did a study where women were needed in higher levels of business because they have a different mindset, a different attitude. So they said that business needs women. So
yeah.
I just had a question about that.
Yeah, so when I said, you know, men being men or women being women, so what I would mean is Bruce Jenner, who is a biological and chromosomal male, should live as a man, and if inside he feels like a woman, he should get counseling rather than sex change surgery and being put on hormones for the rest of his life, which is obviously not natural. If it was natural, he wouldn't need the hormones. So that's what I'm referring to. There are women who are very strong leaders. There are men who are very sensitive caregivers. There are women who are better athletes than men, and men who change diapers better than women. You know, it's not a matter just of specific roles as much as it's a matter of our masculinity, our femininity, denying our biological truths. So for Bruce Jenner to be named Woman of the Year is a travesty. It's part of the social insanity of our culture. Look, even feminist Germaine Greer has said that transgender women are not really women. And there is something about a woman that makes her different. There's something about her life experience. There's something about her biology that Bruce Jenner will never be, no matter how many hormones, no matter how many surgeries he has. So that's the primary thing that I am pointing to when I make that statement. We don't want to stereotype everything so that a boy can't be artistic and a girl can't be a strong leader. But we do not want to change biology, chromosomes, and the things that do make us distinctive. Thank you, sir, for the call, as always. My bottom line today, I'm not as much concerned with the darkness of the society as I am with the lack of light in the church. Time to let our light shine. I've got a serious warning for the shepherds who mislead the flock today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We've had a very lively first hour. The phones are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I want to announce this. Tomorrow, Critics Call-In Day. Tomorrow is Critics Call-In Day. For everyone listening, if you have a different perspective than I do, if you differ with positions I hold to, if you want to press a theological issue where you differ with me, if you don't believe the Bible is God's word, or you don't believe there is a God, and you want to call in and air your viewpoint, if you identify as LGBT or a straight ally and you take issue with me, I am only taking calls tomorrow from those who differ, from those who are critics, from believers who differ with me, from non-believers, from people of other faiths, people of non-faith, and we'll have some good conversations, okay? I'm not trying to provoke a fight. I'm trying to give a platform for airing differences. I'm not trying to provoke controversy. The controversy exists. Let us talk about it. 866-34-TRUTH. If you're a critic or you differ with me, you're more than welcome to call in today. You are more than welcome to call in today. but tomorrow is the real day to do it. I may get to critical calls today, but I may not. So just give you a heads up. 866-34-TRUTH. However, if you weren't able to get through on Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers, you've got a question about the Bible, theology, moral, cultural issues that you'd like to ask me, by all means, give us a call. We'll take your calls as well. 866-34-TRUTH. I put this question out in the first hour. I want to put it out again this hour. I wrote an article last night, just felt burdened to write it, and did. It is a warning to shepherds who mislead the sheep. If you haven't read it yet, you can read it on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest articles, and you will find it very sobering. I wrote it with a sober heart last night. I was planning on doing other things. I was in flight between the state of Washington and Salt Lake City, Utah, by way of Phoenix. I was a little tired. I had a lot of reading to do, to review some manuscripts and things like that. I'm working on my Job translation just to get that in with my commentary. But I felt burdened to write this. I wrote it with a very sober and serious heart. It's about Christian leaders, pastors, preachers, teachers, who mislead the flock either by the way they live, so they mislead the flock morally, or by what they teach doctrinally. In many cases, it is both. Many cases, when you see a doctrinal departure, there's also a moral departure. Many cases, where you see a moral departure, there's also a doctrinal departure. I'm not naming names on the broadcast today. I'm speaking in general, and I'm speaking about specific things in general terms. But if you have witnessed this yourself, if you are seeing from the pulpit, could be a worship leader, it could be a pastor, could be a youth leader, that in the name of liberty, in the name of maturity, in the name of not being legalistic, in the name of not being, quote, religious, they are glorying in immorality. They are glorying in compromise. They are glorying in not being bound by all these old laws and traditions, and in the process are misleading others, hurting others. If you're seeing that, if you're witnessing that, if it's becoming more pervasive, give me a call, 866-348-7884. Friends, it's one thing when you mess up your own life. It's another thing when you mess up many other lives. Let me say it again. It's one thing when you mess up your own life. It's another thing when by your example, by your influence, you mess up the lives of others, especially when Jesus paid for those lives with his own blood. Caution. Careful. Danger. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah right now, looking at a call coming in from Layton, Utah, in Salt Lake City, Utah, for a Stand for Truth conference dealing with issues surrounding homosexuality right before a World Congress of Families meeting. For some odd reason, the World Congress of Families decided not to address this issue. How are you going to have a World Congress of Families without addressing one of the most critical issues facing the family around the world today? One of the critical questions that needs to be answered with compassion and truth. So this conference was raised up, and it's being live simulcast, but it's going to be all put together on DVD. It should be a very, very unique and excellent and important resource in the days to come. 866-34-TRUTH. What are you seeing? Are you seeing more and more abuse of liberty in the name of Jesus? Are you seeing more and more and more leaders who talk about being free and they're not legalistic and on it goes, and it's really a cover-up for the flesh? Hey, listen, I've said it over and again, but let me say it once more. Jesus doesn't set us free to sin. He sets us free from sin. We have liberty from sin, not to sin. Maturity is not glorying in the fact that I got no problem watching some sexually explicit movies. Maturity is not glorying in the fact that I've got no problem dropping the F-bombs when I'm getting drunk with my friends. Maturity is I love what God loves and I hate what God hates. Maturity is I don't react in a fleshly way against legalism and go the way of license. It's immaturity that reacts like that. And you see, the shepherds, the spiritual leaders, come in for significant rebuke in the Bible because they are responsible for God's sheep. They are responsible for those that God cares for. And they have to give account to God for what they do with the sheep. This is very serious business. Look, it is no surprise. When you see doctrinal error, you will constantly see with it some other type of moral error. Not always, but very, very frequently. And then when you find out that someone is preaching or modeling moral compromise, all right, you'll find some serious doctrinal deviation as well. Not always, but commonly. And listen, you may not be overtly preaching moral compromise, but you may be modeling it. You know, rampant no-fault divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. So if you are a pastor, you are a leader, and you have some affair with some gal in your church, and because now she has your heart and your wife doesn't, you find some unscriptural reason to divorce your wife or force her to divorce you, and then you marry this other woman, you're an adulterer. You're living in adultery. According to Jesus, you're living in adultery. Now, you might preach holiness and give some spiritual rationalization or justification, but you're living in adultery. You need to repent and get your marriage restored. And hopefully your wife will take you back. But there are many ways that we can model godlessness. And those who were raised in legalistic circles, which are very dangerous circles and very harmful, they turn sinners away from Jesus. They turn believers away from Jesus. You must not react with immaturity and go from legalism to license, especially if you are a leader. Oh, you're so cool. In the middle of your message, you spice it up with a little profanity. Oh, you're so cool. Oh, that's great. Oh, you think that's holy? You think that glorifies the Lord? You think that speaks of the beauty of Jesus? You think that doesn't violate the beautiful picture Paul paints in Ephesians 5, where he talks about no foul speech, no unseemly words, or Ephesians 4:26, nothing corrupt, nothing unseemly coming from our lips, but only that which is going to edify and build up? How does that edify and build up? All it does is give others more license to do what they do in the flesh, because those who follow you will now exaggerate what they see you do. 866-348-7884. Please read my warning to shepherds. Circulate it to others. If you're a pastor or leader and you agree with what I wrote, copy it out. Send it out in an e-blast to your flock. Post it in social media. It's important that we sound the alarm. And those of our brothers and sisters who are caught up in error, let's pray for their repentance. Let's pray for the opening of their hearts and the opening of their minds. 866-34-TRUTH says, I'm in Utah. We'll go to Layton, Utah. Patricia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was talking with Russ East, and he suggested I call you with my concerns to see what you would say.
Yeah.
I am very concerned about America's being involved in the spirit of deception, and demonology, and Satanism. And I don't know much about spiritual warfare, but it seems like the church ought to be informed about spiritual warfare and how to go about it. I'm just wondering whether, I wanted to ask your opinion first about that.
Yeah, of course, spiritual warfare is reality. The New Testament has a lot to say about the spiritual realm, about demons, about angels, about Satan. And we're told to resist the devil. We're told to be strong and be firm and be sober. And Paul writes explicitly about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 10 verses, Ephesians 6, there's no Ephesians 10, Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 19, and tells us to put on the full armor of God. So we do need to understand these things. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. Our focus needs to be on worshiping God and doing what he calls us to do. Our focus is not to be on demons or the devil, but we must be aware of demonic deception. We must be aware of demonic attacks and how the devil works. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, so we should not be ignorant of his devices today.
Do you think that if a few people with some authority or influence could start a groundswell within the body of Christ, participating in spiritual warfare? I mean, well, I don't really remember hearing a sermon specifically on spiritual warfare and encouraging people to participate.
Yeah, it's just the circles you're in. I know others that's all they've taught about for decades and decades and decades, and major teachers.
How do we get organized to do it collectively?
Well, the body of Christ throughout America is so multifaceted that we're always going to have 1,000 different emphases while we agree on the fundamentals. And Patricia, it's not one person or one group. If everybody on radio decided to address it, there'd still be tons that don't hear it on radio. If everybody on TV decided to address it, there are tons who don't watch Christian TV. If one denomination decided to address it, doesn't matter, another will. Best thing is just to pray daily for God's people to come into the fullness of his truth, for God's people to come into the fullness of truth, and to pray it beginning with your own life, as I would pray it beginning with my own life as well. It's nothing that one group or one person or 10 people or 1,000 people could organize. Around America, major conferences are held on major subjects put together by major leaders representing millions and millions of believers, and it's still just one part of what's happening. And even in this case, this is one part of what the Bible teaches. That being said, Patricia, I'd encourage you to go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And when you go there, just in our resources, so in our store, check out our series on spiritual warfare. I have an entire teaching series, about 12 hours, 8 lectures on spiritual warfare, then another 12 hours, 8 lectures on angels, demons, and deliverance. Really inexpensive to download. You'll find it thoroughly scriptural and very, very practical. Thank you for the call. That's Spiritual Warfare in our online bookstore. You can download it there and get equipped. All right, Eric was accidentally cut off from Park City, Utah. And his question to me, how do I justify my war against, I guess, social war, moral, cultural wars, by the life of Jesus? If we're not understanding you, try to call back, Eric, 866-34-TRUTH. Otherwise, I think you're asking, how do I get involved in cultural, moral issues? Against social evil. How do I justify my war against social evil by the life of Jesus? How do you not stand against social evil and follow Jesus? How can you be what Jesus said you're to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and not stand against social evil? How can you not stand against poverty? How can you not stand against human trafficking? How can you not stand against the mistreatment of the abused? How can you not stand against immorality and follow Jesus? Explain that.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, so how can I stand against social evil? Why do I do it as a follower of Jesus? Again, that's the kind of question that strikes me as answering itself. How can I not stand against social evil while following Jesus? How can I be the light of the world as a disciple, as we're called to be? How can I be the salt of the earth, so a moral preservative, a moral conscience? How can I be those things and not stand against social evil? So how could you be a follower of Jesus in the days of slavery and not stand against it? How could you be a follower of Jesus in the days of human trafficking and not stand against it? How could you be a follower of Jesus in the days of, say, starving a group of people because they didn't fit in your category without standing against it? And isn't the whole Bible the Bible of Jesus? Didn't Jesus say he didn't come to abolish what came before but to fulfill? Doesn't he quote constantly from the law and the prophets as scripture, as authority? Don't the prophets constantly tell us to stand for justice, to stand against injustice, to contend for the widow, to contend for the orphan, to rebuke sin, to expose adultery and immorality and financial corruption and on and on? Doesn't the book of Proverbs, part of the Bible of Jesus, part of the Bible of Paul, the apostles, the Bible of the early church, doesn't that tell us in Proverbs 24 to rescue those who are perishing, those who are headed to slaughter, to stand up for them? How can we follow Jesus and throw out the Bible, which calls us to stand? How can we not stand against abortion as followers of Jesus? And when Jesus establishes the meaning of marriage, one man, one woman together for life, Matthew 19, 4 through 6, when he tells us that all sexual sin committed outside of marriage as God intended it, defiles us in Matthew 15, beginning in verse 19. When he says in Matthew 18, woe to the world because of things that make people stumble. So, spiritual stumbling blocks, moral stumbling blocks, doctrinal stumbling blocks. He warns about that. Woe to those who cause one of these little ones to stumble. In heaven, their angels are always looking out for them. Their eyes are on the Father. How can we not stand against the destruction of the family? How can we not stand for marriage and family as God intended it? How can we follow Jesus and not do those things? Since when is it just, well, we pray and worship and that's it? Think of this. We're true followers of Jesus, right? There are starving people on our street because of the oppressive conduct of a dictator in our country. They are literally starving to death, little children. They're on the steps of our church building as we walk in, but we don't get involved in social issues. So we just go and pray and worship and then leave the building. What kind of insanity is that? So if I misunderstood the question, my apologies. But as it was posted for me, that's the response I will give you. All right, Ben Carson, Johnny Grape, clip number one. Ben Carson is on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. And let's see. He's on with Chuck Todd, and they're talking about abortion. Again, Ben Carson, go ahead and push him in a corner, and he's going to come out swinging wisely on these issues. Clip number one.
It's not a violation of the First Amendment because all I'm saying is taxpayer funding should not be used for propaganda. It shouldn't be.
But your definition of propaganda could be somebody else's definition of free speech.
Well, that's why I said we're going to have the students send in and we will investigate.
All right. You know what? I was looking at a little different context there. Sorry. The clip that I was linked with that was about abortion. And that's just what I saw. So my bad on that. Somehow I missed that. All right. Let me switch to a totally different clip, a 100% different clip. Donald Trump, he was on, he's on CNN on Sunday. Yes, this is about professors and schools, so on. Okay, sorry, I got that confused in my notes here. That's what happens when I'm on the road. Okay, Donald Trump on CNN on Sunday. Do you agree with what he had to say? Clip number two, do you agree with what Donald Trump had to say?
The world would be better off with Saddam Hussein
100%.
And Gaddafi in power.
100%. Now, as far as Assad is concerned,
what about the human rights abuses?
You don't think they're happening now? They're worse now than they ever were. People are getting their heads chopped off. They're being drowned. Right now, they're far worse than they were ever under Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi.
Do you agree with Donald Trump on that? Just to put out a question there, do you agree that the world was in better shape with Saddam Hussein in power in Iraq and Muammar Gaddafi in power in Libya? Do you think that the world was a safer place, a better place, that it was safer for Christian population in the Middle East when in Northern Africa when Gaddafi was in power and Saddam Hussein was in power? Do you agree with Donald Trump? Just curious. Just curious. 866-34-TRUTH. Speaking of Middle East, let's speak more broadly about Islam and the Jewish people. This happened yesterday. I did not see it widely reported in news, but I was speaking and then traveling all day, so I may have missed it. But in France, did you hear about this? In France, a Muslim screaming, Allahu Akbar, stabbed a Jewish man, then punched a rabbi in the face. Rabbi Yehuda Malul of the Menuchat Shalom Synagogue in Marseille, France, was attacked this past weekend with another congregant while on their way to morning prayers. The synagogue is located in the center of the southern French city, where there are many Haredi religious Jews, so ultra-Orthodox Jews, synagogues, and yeshivot, places of rabbinic study. According to a report posted on the Hebrew language website Bahadurei Haredim, the attacker was a young man of Arab appearance. The rabbi who spoke with the writer at the website said the attacker yelled, Yahud, that's Jew, Allahu Akbar. The attacker punched the rabbi with his fist and he shouted, Ichbach al-Yahud, which is kill the Jew, as the rabbi fell to the ground. When the rabbi's companion went to the rabbi's side to try to protect him, the attacker pulled out a knife and stabbed the man in the abdomen. This is some of the incitement to terror, the incitement to kill Jews. The incitement to butcher Jews in the name of Allah. It's taking place around the world. All right, do I have time to do this? Let's see. Johnny, grab, let's play clip number, well, tell you what, we'll hold off on that. But friends, I'm going to play a clip for you in the next segment. Go to my website as soon as you have a moment, all right? As soon as you have 2 minutes, literally. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and check out the special offer this week. Excuse me. I'm getting choked up talking about it. My book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, is perhaps the most influential single book I've written, been translated into more languages than any book I've written, been continuously in print since 1992 when it came out, perhaps the most eye-opening book you'll ever read about the church and the Jewish people and God's purpose for Israel. On this video, if you go to my website, there's a video that'll tell you more. When you order the book, just $15, we're paying the postage as well and giving you a free DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? Find out more by going to AskDrBrown.org. There's a video you can click on there. It'll tell you more. Take advantage of this. Order multiple copies. You'll be blessed as you do.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now, every rabbi had Talmidim, students or disciples. And we actually have a list of Rabbi Yeshua's first 12 Talmidim. Some of them were Shimon, called Kepha. There was Matityahu, the tax collector. There was Yaakov bar Zavdai and his brother Yochanan. There was Yaakov bar Halfai. There was Ta'oma. There was Bat Talmai. There was Shimon the Zealot. There was Yehuda from Kriot. Quite a Jewish group of guys.
You say, what? Who was that? What were those names again? That's strange. You say those, I thought it was Peter and John, and where are you getting these names from? Oh, the New Testament. Well, I mean, that's what they would have sounded like in Jesus' day, his Talmidim, his disciples. In fact, if I read to you from the new, from the complete Jewish Bible, the Stern, New Testament, listen to this. And this is Michael Brown. It's not Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but our special offer this week, when you order my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, you get a free copy of the DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? But here's how it reads in the Complete Jewish Bible, Matthew 10:1. Yeshua called his 12 Talmidim, disciples, and gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits and to heal every kind of disease and weakness. These are the names of the 12 emissaries. First, Shimon called Kepha, and Andrew, or Andrei, his brother, Yaakov ben Zavdai, and Yochanan, his brother, Philip and Bartalmai, Ta'oma and Matityahu, the tax collector, Yaakov bar Chalfai, and Tadai, Shimon the Zealot, and Yehuda from Kriot, who betrayed him. Ah, isn't that something? Those were the names of the disciples. Sounds a little different. Verse 5, these 12 Yeshua sent out with the following instructions. Don't go into the territory of the Goyim, the nations, the Gentiles, and don't enter any town in Shomron, that's Samaria, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, sounds a little different, reads a little different. Yeah, well, originally it was very, very different. 866-34-TRUTH. So I noticed something really interesting. It is typical of the serious error that is out in the body today. I wrote an article that is being widely shared, A Warning to Shepherds Who Mislead the Sheep. I talk about those who live lives of moral compromise. And as they live lives of moral compromise, they lead others into moral compromise. And some of them even glory in their moral compromise. And then there are others who deviate doctrinally from the scriptures, and they lead others into doctrinal error as well. And it's a strong warning. It was written with a broken heart, and it was written, of course, motivated by love and bathed in love. So somebody's differing with me. They're warning people on Twitter. And this article by Dr. Michael Brown isn't right. We need to rethink what love is without this kind of logic. Unfortunately, judgmentalism is what you are kind of known for. On and on. So it is your dissenting approach to pastors that are struggling to see that God is love can be very damaging. Buddy, friend, you're not struggling to see that God is love by playing with sin. You're not struggling to see that God is love by dragging other people down with you. You're not struggling to see that God is love when you play games with sin, and when you minimize holiness and mock repentance, and when you see people who are really serious and God-fearing, you call them legalistic and religious just because they don't fit your mold. That's not struggling to see that God's love. That's giving license and place to the flesh. Wow. Talk about spiritual blindness, spiritual deception. That person really needs to encounter the love of God. Shake the nation, change the world.
Change the world. God of light, hear our cry. Send God by.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, going to have a little fun here. Going to do some regional giveaways. All right, so let's do this. All right, let me give you the number first, but don't call yet. Don't call yet. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to give away a free copy of our resource offer this week. That's my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which has been more translated than any book I've written and has perhaps had the most dramatic impact on people around the world of any book I've written in many languages, in many countries. I wrote it with tremendous burden, with tremendous spiritual intensity, with a broken heart, and it seems to have had the same effect on those who have read it. So, when you get the book this week, we're giving you a free copy of the DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? You'll find it really eye-opening, edifying, enjoyable, great to watch as a church group, great to watch with friends in your home, great to watch with Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus. So here's where we're going to start. If you are listening on the radio, anywhere in the state of Texas right now, so our great listeners in greater DFW, all right? So any of you listening on the radio now, on the radio, in the state of Texas, we're doing a regional giveaway. I'm only going to do a few of these, but call the number 5-866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Call the number 5, the book and the DVD are yours. It's a strange conception to go back to my article, A Warning to Shepherds Who Mislead the Sheep, that when you identify sin, when you identify compromise, when you call people to do the right thing, that somehow you're not walking in love. I mean, what a strange concept. What an utterly bizarre concept. Let's say you go to the doctor, all right? You go to the doctor and you are, say, 150 pounds overweight. All right, you go to the doctor, you're 150 pounds overweight, your blood pressure is high. It's seriously high. You're also having a lot of back pains for the first time in your life, and you're out of breath. You're out of breath just going up and down the steps, and you meet with the doctor. We have a winner, friends. We do have a winner. Thank you so much. We're giving you another opportunity a bit later in the half hour, but we do have a winner. So thank you so much for trying to get through. All right. So the doctor is a real loving doctor, and he knows that it's discouraging and it's depressing when you're so overweight, and it's hard, very hard to lose that kind of weight. So he doesn't want to hurt your feelings. So he just says, hey, you know, take this for the back pain. Take this medication for the high blood pressure, and you'll feel better. No, that's not love. That's not love. That is catering to human weakness. That's catering to the flesh. Love would say, listen, I know it's hard. You put on weight. Sometimes maybe there's stress. There's something happened in your life. Maybe you gave up smoking cigarettes and you gained weight. Maybe you've been depressed, or maybe just, you know, your metabolism is real slow, whatever. But look, it's this extra weight that's hurting you. That's why you're having this back pain for the first time in your life. That's why you're getting out of breath going up the stairs. That's why your blood pressure is so high. So here, right now, all right, congratulations to Tim in McKinney, Texas, caller number 5. So right now we're going to give you some medication, but here's what you need to do. Let's come up with a plan to help you get in good shape and take this weight off and eat healthy, because that's going to fix these other things. You don't love me, doc. No, because the doctor loves you, the doctor speaks the truth. That's what love does. All right, let's do this for the state of Utah. If you are listening to me right now anywhere in the state of Utah, listening to me on the radio right now, We've got our great Salt Lake City station where I'm broadcasting from live, not from the station, but from Salt Lake City today. Caller, we'll make this real quick. Call number four, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Free copy of Our Hands Are Stained With Blood and the DVD, Is Christianity Jewish? Unless I have my hours wrong, unless it's the last hour with all of our Utah callers. Can you check, Johnny? I might have been confused on that. I may have our list of the audience wrong right here. No, I'm not. Sorry, as I watch the phone lines light up here. All right. So a lot of what we call love today is anything but love. A lot of what we call love today is simply catering to the flesh. When people love you, they tell you the truth. Paul warned about these issues over and again. Listen to what he wrote to Timothy. Listen to what he wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, because Timothy was a young leader. Be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be an example. Don't be an example of frivolity. Don't be an example of fleshiness. Don't be an example of foolishness. Don't be an example of license. Don't be an example of immaturity. Be an example to the believers in speech and conduct and love and spirit and faith and impurity. And then he reminded him, he said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Look at how you live and look at what you preach. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And I say it plainly in my article, a warning to shepherds who mislead the flock. Pastors, when you indulge in ungodly entertainment and compromise living, then demonstrate your freedom by speaking about it from the pulpit, referencing the latest unclean movie in your so-called sermons, you spew filth on those whom Jesus has cleansed, encouraging them to follow in your footsteps and beyond. And yes, of course, we've had a winner for some time, Taffy from Sandy, Utah. Congratulations. We'll give you another shot from Utah as well, all right? So stay tuned. But we have winners, so we're going to move to some other locations. And then I'm just going to open up a little wider. But so you get another chance, another crack. All right, let me do one more thing. One more. Just decided to have a little fun here as I'm out in Salt Lake City. Let me do one more thing. If you're listening and you're not listening on radio, you're listening live on computer. I don't care where you are. You're listening live on your computer. So you're not or on your cell phone or tablet. You're not listening on the radio. All right, so you're not getting our show on the radio. You're listening online, so on your computer, your cell phone, your tablet, you're listening live, but not on radio. Caller number 7, you win a free copy of my book, Our Hands Are Stained With Blood, and the DVD Is Christianity Jewish. Caller number 7, you're not listening on the radio. You're listening live via computer, cell phone, or tablet, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me read this exhortation from our article one more time. Pastors, when you indulge in ungodly entertainment and compromised living, then demonstrate your freedom in quotes by speaking about it from the pulpit, referencing the latest unclean movie in your oh-so-cool sermons. You spill filth on those whom Jesus has cleansed, encouraging them to follow in your footsteps and beyond. You we'll have to answer to God for this one day. And I was trembling on the inside as I wrote those words. You know what Peter said about some of the false teachers in his day? Really dangerous false teachers in his day. You know what he wrote? 2 Peter 2:14. They have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. They entice unstable souls. Their hearts are trained in greed. They are cursed children. So perhaps many of our contemporary leaders have not fallen this far. But to the extent we are leading God's people away from purity and truth by our example and our teaching, we are in serious danger. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his recompense in the body, whether it was good or bad. 866-34-TRUTH. If you want to weigh in on any of this, we do have a winner. We do have a winner from our listening live online audience, not listening by radio. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give away two more books on the other side of the break. All right? So we'll squeeze in a bunch. So I'm going to do one for our listeners in North Carolina. And then we'll give our listeners, well, since we're in Texas and Utah, we'll do that once more. But stay tuned. Thanks for your efforts to get through Charles. Charles of Mill Creek, well, good job, buddy. Met for the first time again in many years, and you were, that's the blessing of the Lord. There, a little smile there.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Rabbi Yeshua, the Messiah, better known as Jesus Christ. By the way, in case you weren't aware, Christ is the Greek way of saying Messiah. Now you might be wondering, when did this Jewish Rabbi Yeshua abandon his Jewishness and start a brand new Gentile religion? He never did. And that's why I raised the question at the beginning of the show. Is Christianity Jewish?
So you get that DVD, really informative, really enjoyable, really eye-opening, edifying, instructive. You get that free when you order Our Hands Are Stained with Blood this week, perhaps the most influential of the 27 books I've written that's had the most impact on the most people around the world, the tragic story of the church and the Jewish people. Your eyes will be open to things you may never have known. Your heart will be stirred. When you get the book, we're paying the postage, just $15, postage paid, and the DVD absolutely free. To order, call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. When we reduce the price to get this to the maximum number of people, it really does help if you can add in a donation when you order. But please do take advantage of it just as is if you can't afford anything beyond that. And to order online, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. All right, just to have a little more fun with our listeners. Okay, so if you're listening on the radio anywhere in Texas or Utah, so just going to do this again, anywhere in Texas or Utah, if you're listening on the radio and you'd like a free copy of the book Our Hands Are Stained with Blood and the DVD Is Christianity Jewish? Well, we're making these really easy today. Call number 6-866-34-TRUTH. Texas or Utah, 866-34-TRUTH. I know, trying to time it right, people wait a little while. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy giving stuff away. But I also enjoy when people try to time it and wait, and then the phones ring like crazy. And dear Betsy has the fun of trying to answer all of them. And the reason I don't immediately announce we have a winner is sometimes it takes a few seconds before Betsy can grab that one person, and you might be on hold and be that person. So if you're trying to get through, we do have a winner. We do have our winner. Look, friends, I am not God's policeman. God does not have a policeman in the body. The doctrinal detective whose job it is to weed out all error everywhere in the church, and this one person has perfect doctrine. No, that person does not exist. That's what the Bible is for. That's what God's word is for. There's one person on the planet who lives a perfect life, always, constantly, without any stain of sin in any way, shape, size, or form. And that person can now correct everybody else. No, that person is Jesus. And he dies to save us from our sins and to bring us into freedom from sin. But we are called to address error as shepherds. We are called to call out compromise. We are called to pray for those who mislead and hurt. And we do it with broken hearts. We do it with great burdens. We do it with love. And friends, I want you to pray for shepherds and leaders that are standing strong. There's pressure. There's a lot of pressure to compromise. So I encourage you to pray for those that are standing strong, who set a godly moral example, and who preach the truth of Scripture. Pray for them. Pray that God would strengthen them and give them courage and support them. Pray for those who maybe have reacted against legalism. They've reacted against legalism, and they've swung the other way. They've swung the way of license. They swung from legalism to license. They mistake freedom in the flesh and indulging the flesh. They mistake that in some perverted, bizarre way. They mistake that for holiness. All right? So pray for them that God would bring them to repentance. Pray that they would have a fresh encounter with the love of God and with the truth of God, that they would be set free. All right? And pray for those who've been misled. I was talking to a pastor, and he was talking about the influence that one major ministry has on young people. And he was talking about the compromise in the leaders in this ministry. And young people see it, and young people hear it, and think, hey, that's cool. By the way, congratulations to Jay from Dallas, Texas. Our phone lines are still jammed. We do have a winner. We do have a winner, folks. So if you're holding on, no reason to be holding on, all right, because we do have another winner. As soon as we get the phone lines cleared, I can try to give away one more book and special offer this week. But look, parents, you know raising your kids, how important it is to set an example. You know raising your kids, how important it is not just to say, do what we do, but follow our lead, follow our example. And you know often that kids are going to follow your example more than they're going to follow your words. If your example is bad, then your good words are going to fall on deaf ears, or will only go so far. So how much more does this apply to pastors, to leaders, to those responsible for the flock? How much more does this apply when they are representing God, when they are representing God's word, when they are representing God's truth, when they are supposed to be shepherds, when they're opening the Bible and teaching you and standing behind a pulpit and on some level saying, follow me as I follow Jesus? These are serious things. You don't think I take it seriously when I'm on the radio every day? You don't think I take it seriously when I write these articles and write these books? I do it with a broken heart of love, and I do it in the fear of the Lord, because I understand the weight that my words can carry and the weight that my example can be, for better or for worse. And let me do this last thing. Everyone listening by radio in North Carolina right now, if you're listening by radio in North Carolina, caller number 8, listening by radio in North Carolina, 866-34-TRUTH, you get a free copy of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood and Is Christianity Jewish, the DVD. So if you're listening by radio in North Carolina, caller number 8, 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Friends, tomorrow is Critics Call-In Day. If you differ with me, if you have an issue with me, if you don't agree with my spiritual beliefs, my moral standards, if you're an atheist or a person of another faith, if you are a believer in Jesus but have differences, tomorrow is your day to call in. Unless something unusual happens, I'm only planning to take calls from those who differ with me. So tomorrow is your opportunity to call. We do have a winner. Thank you, our great listeners all over North Carolina. We do have a winner. I may not be able to announce the name and city before the show's going off, but we do have a winner. Thank you. But by all means, friends, call in and order a copy of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood and the free DVD with it. Only $15 postage paid. I guarantee you these will be life-changing resources as you take them in and digest the truths that you'll find in them. 1-800-278-9978 to order. 1-800-278-9978 to order. My bottom line today, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And congratulations to Suresh from Centerfield, North Carolina.